Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own business as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I think I saw you eat shit twice yesterday.
I ate shit a lot more than twice yesterday.
I'm literally sitting there fishing with my wife and Layla. I'm like, it's nice out. There's like two boats out. I see this white Malibu go by. And Janine's like, hey, I think that's Mitch. It's the only white Malibu with brown interior.
Yep.
Like, it's easy to spot, right?
White and black on the outside, brown on the inside.
I look up. Yeah, I think that eats shit. I was like, yes, that is definitely Mitch.
Yep.
So I almost texted you. I was like, eh, I won't. I'll let him have his fun.
So last week, Mason and I are new to this whole water sports thing, and so we're wakeboarding, and we're trying to learn how to go wake to wake, jump from one wake all the way to the other. And last week, before the weekend, I managed to do it. And Mason has yet to be able to do it. And so we got a little bit of advice from some other people, how to shorten up the rope a little bit and increase the speed of the boat. So shortening up the rope brings you...
It's a steeper wake.
Well, it's the wake is narrower, so you don't have to jump as far. And then increasing the speed of the boat narrows the wake even more, and so you don't have to jump as far. And so we did that, and we were using a different rope, and Mason was able to go wake to wake.
Yeah, I saw
Mason,
the video.
Yeah, Mason busted that out on Sunday, right? And so we had some free time available, as you know, like you were out there fishing. And so Mason and I were like, let's go back out. And so we did. And we've got a pretty good system to where we can hit, like we can leave our house and be on the water in 30 minutes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It takes us like literally, I keep the boat at my house. It takes me 15.
Yeah.
Like we can, I can get there, get the boat in the water, 15, 20 minutes. We're, you know, we're on the way.
Yeah. And so
it's nice. It's nice having them lakes close.
Yeah. So we go out there. I mean, we're only out there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Mason goes first, goes wake to wake a whole bunch. He's loving this new setup with the shorter rope. And all of this stuff. The other rope also, the newer rope has a, it's elastic.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit springy.
Yeah.
I've never used it.
You get a little kick off of it.
Yeah. And so I tried with that rope. Fucking hated it. Every second of it. I don't like how springy it is. I don't like how short it is.
No, you like to, when you pull, you want to be able to move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want the response of a solid rope. And then it's so short that it whips you around really funny. So like my rope, when I go wake to wake and I land, it's smooth for about a half a second, and then the rope pulls on you.
Yeah.
And you're going fast enough that you don't need the rope pulling on you the moment you land. That rope is pulling on you
the whole time?
Midair.
Yeah.
And so it messes your feet up when you land, and Mason's figured out how to handle the elasticity of it. I don't like it.
Which is weird, because he's like, don't take this the wrong way, but he's like a gangly, unathletic.
He's not as athletic as he should
be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's big and tall and like,
man,
he's not an athlete.
And he's learned, here's the cool part is he's learned how to crash because sometimes you can get shit wet pretty fast on that thing.
Oh yeah, you can.
And he's learned how to, like, if he's in the wrong position in the air, he'll move his feet around to where he's has a softer landing and
it's
all that.
It's the same thing as when you're snowboarding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you have a split second and you're like, okay, how do I want to break my neck? So yeah, like, and I will say this, like I've been wakeboarding a few times. Like, I like to try to land on my back or shoulder as much as possible. And I always cover my face because like I've had my eyelids feel like they've ripped off.
Yep.
So I always, you know, I'm like that. Like if you can learn that, you're gold.
Right.
Like, cause you're going to eat shit.
Yeah. I crashed. I don't know.
But I saw you go down at least once. Yeah. I thought maybe twice, but you were on the other side. It was hard for me to see.
Yeah. No,
Janine looked at me.
I contemplated even wakeboarding at all because, like, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was trying out that foil board and I cracked
hurt.
Yeah, I cracked my foot on the top of it and
it's not funny, but it's funny for me.
Bruised the hell out of my foot. It hurt for like a day and then it quit hurting. And then I realized, well, I can't feel the top of my foot. Like whatever it did, it damaged a whole bunch of nerves on the top of my foot.
Good. You don't need those things.
I can't feel it, right?
Yeah, you don't need them.
So I've been walking around on it and everything and I've been hurting it, not knowing it. well, the nerve damage is starting to go away. And now so, like, yesterday, it hurts like crazy, and I haven't done anything to it.
Your foot's probably broke, you idiot.
Yeah, could be. And
such
so
a dope.
I told Mason, I'm like, my foot's hurting. And I'm like, I'm contemplating not even going, because when you do crash on the wakeboard, if it tries to rip you out of the bindings,
it hurts.
That's really going to hurt the top of my hurt
foot,
right?
Yeah, it hurts.
Right?
It and pulls so up
like,
hard.
I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to go. And so then I'm going out there and I'm like not giving it my all because I'm kind of trying to favor my foot. And that's not what you want to do.
First off, when you don't give it 100%, that's when you get hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Business, sports, yeah. Anything. You half-ass it, you're hurt every
and so
time.
I'm out there like half-assing it. Should have just not done it. Well, then on top of that, I'm using a different rope that's also 10 feet shorter than my old rope.
Oh, man.
And so it's like all things changed. And I never landed one jump yesterday. I ate shit. I'm not kidding you. I ate shit like 10 times. And then
really?
Finally, yeah. And
I know I saw at least one good one.
One of them was bad. Like I face planted in the water so hard. I paused for a minute, never got knocked out, but I paused for a minute and I'm like, I'm doing that whole like check of
yeah.
Like, I can wiggle my fingers. I can wiggle my toes. I'm good. And then it comes to me. I'm like, I should probably put a thumb up in the air. Cause Mason's probably I'm face down in the water.
Oh doing shit. All
I'm like, Mason's probably freaking out
this
for a moment.
Son of a bitch is dead. He drowned himself.
So I roll over and give him a thumbs up, you know, but after that one, I'm like, I need to be done because I'm either going to get really pissed or really hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't want either of those to happen.
Such a dope.
So I jumped out and he started surfing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I saw you stationary for a long time and I was like, they're either switching or somebody just got really fucked up.
Yeah, no, we were getting the boat switched over to surf mode.
Oh, man.
That's whatever, like, as guys are programmed to kind of be that way, when we get frustrated, we get mad and then we like get hurt even worse.
Right. Right. So, yeah, but...
Plus five.
Thoroughly enjoying the boating activities for
man,
sure.
Man, I've been waiting for summer for so long. It's so nice.
We had a blast at so Lake of the Ozarks this weekend.
I know, I'm sorry.
Although that lake is dirty. Mm-hmm.
Dude,
my prop got wrapped up with stuff three times.
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
It's a dumpster fire. Like, literally, you should be wearing a mask.
Well, I broke my boat.
You broke the boat?
Yeah. We had, what, 14 people in it? And,
how do you break the boat?
The surf racks, the racks on the side of the boat that pivot out and hold the surfboards.
Yeah.
Sheared off the pivot bolt.
Well, that'd be under warranty at least.
Yeah, it's quite, I mean, they're going to do it under warranty. I told them flat out, I'm like, I need a new bolt and this isn't a warranty thing. Like, I was driving it too hard in rough water. And they were like, we'll still get it covered under warranty.
Yeah, what do they care?
Yeah.
You don't go in there saying that. You say, I don't know what happened here. Like, we were just...
I know what happened.
It doesn't matter.
Two guys went airborne in the bow. That's what happened.
Whenever I return stuff to Best Buy, they're just like, so what was the problem with it? And I'll just say, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I bought the wrong one.
I didn't like it, so it's in four pieces.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, I got mad and I smashed it on the ground. Yeah. Where's my warranty?
But yeah,
where's my cash?
Lake of the Ozarks is fun.
Can be.
Be fun to go back this weekend.
I don't...
Memorial Day weekend.
I shouldn't say that. I like Lake of the Ozarks, but you're right. It's a dirty, disgusting mess.
Yeah, and it poured its ass off Thursday.
It's so gross. Like, it's fucking gross, man.
It poured so hard Thursday. Like, there's debris floating in the water, sticks and logs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's always fun to smash your face on.
Yeah, like actual garbage in the water. And I don't know what it was, but three times blasting across the lake at 35 miles an hour, my prop got wrapped up and stuff. The boat starts shaking like crazy, and you have to stop.
Yeah.
And, like, you could get out and, like, go investigate it. But I just stop. I put it in reverse
for a little bit.
And then go back forward and it's fine. Like, clear it off. But I mean, it's a little spooky. 37 miles an hour and everything starts shaking.
Yeah. Especially an expensive ass boat.
Friday morning.
My prop looks like it's been beat to death with gravel. Like, it's just all dinged to shit.
You ever see the Core?
Care.
The movie The Core. Something goes wrong with their, that people keep going down to check on. They keep dying.
Oh.
See that with a boat? Be like, hey, who's the person going down to check the prop?
Yeah, who wants to check the prop, bitches?
check the prop is the boating term for I have to take a leak. That's when you're hanging off the back, putting your butt in the water, just take a leak.
I don't do that. I just stand on the side.
I just stand on the front.
And
right.
pee
but
right
if you're
off.
A woman, you can't really do that, so.
That's true.
You got to go kneel in the back and check the prop. But, Friday morning,
sexist.
I was blasting down the main channel. In the morning, 6:30 in the morning at sunrise. Nobody on the water. I'm like one of the only boats on the water.
Man, it's nice when it's calm.
It's
it?
Glass, right?
Yeah.
So I'm blasting along, and then I'm like, "What's that floating in the water? It looked like a dock float. It's a couch."
Oh shit!
And then like 100 yards down the way, there's a love seat.
Was it a? So when it rained, when you say it rained, did it thunderstorm?
it poured its ass off.
Well, because people will take like their couches or love, and they'll go put them on the dock, and then there's a thunderstorm, and they come down there and they're like, where's my couch?
Yeah, it was gone.
Well, no shit, dope. You got to screw it the fuck down.
There was so much stuff in the water. I'm not convinced a houseboat didn't sink. And that lake's deep. It's 120 feet deep.
Yeah.
Towards the dam.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like Table Rock. I think Table Rock's like 180.
So, that's who deep. Knows? But we had a blast. We had a blast.
We only saw one houseboat sink.
And
no dead bodies.
Yeah, I didn't see the houseboat sink. I just suspect it did. But that is the that's the Airbnb where we'll be staying at for the Trade Winds event. And so,
oh shit, I just now realized that.
It was cool to get down there and
learn,
like, there's only six public boat ramps on the entire 100 miles of Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
And so if you're not going to use one of those, you have to use private ones. And so I found a guy who's got a private one.
I know a guy.
And he's got an honor box at the end of the boat ramp. And perfect. He's like, you just put, you know, if you're going to launch your boat in there, put a dollar or two in there. If you're going to launch it and take it back out, put five. You know, if you're going to park your trailer and leave it with us for the weekend, just put another five in there. Like, totally country bumpkin, chill, just walk up to him and be like,
you know what, buddy? Here's 20 bucks.
That's what I did.
I'll see you on Sunday.
I'm like, I'll just 20 bucks. I might leave my trailer here. I might come back and get it. I'm not sure. But thanks. And then we actually found out that the neighbor two doors down from the Airbnb, they have their own private boat ramp.
Nice.
And so we secured permission from them to use theirs. Although theirs is really fucking difficult. You have to back down a 400 yard long gravel driveway that's winding and steep as hell with
my
40 foot trailer.
First off, I love backing a trailer. You know me. Heating, cooling, we drove a trailer. I had a 16-foot box trailer. I drove for like 3 years straight every day. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the challenge. I'm like, whoop,
yep.
Whoop, whoop, just whipping that motherfucker around.
Yeah. Their boat ramp's only about maybe 18 inches wider than the tires in my trailer.
You know, so you got to be on it. Before we talk about, like, get into the topics, Table Rock Lake is a core lake.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ozarks not a core lake?
I think it is.
So technically, there are no private boat ramps. Anyone, if there is access to the water, the Corps owns up so far. Actually technically allowed. So I know this at Table Rock. You're allowed to use any boat ramp regardless. No one can say, well, this is private for this group or this is it. Like, you can't do that. It's against the law.
Yeah, I don't.
They do it. Like, maybe, don't get me wrong. They try to, like, pull you down on the rug and be like, hey, you can't put your boat in here. And I know better.
Right.
I give them the finger and I, you know, roll on.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that maybe access so many feet of the water they have to allow, but like if their yard's 300 yards long, maybe they don't have to let you in their opening of their driveway at the top.
Well, and that's
who knows.
And so like Table Rock does, you don't have private docks, you have group docks. So right. I didn't know if Ozarks was different.
Well, and to be fair, like these neighbors two doors down that we got permission from, their only hindrance was they Airbnb their place too. That's our doubly backup if we book the event.
Oh, the other two houses. Yeah, we need another
this
one.
Is that additional house that we could rent if we need the space. Their only hang up is they don't want people using the ramp. They only want people they know using the ramp. And they're cool if you use it, but they don't want you using it if they have a renter in there enjoying their weekend. Because they don't want you intruding.
My God. You mean they can't sacrifice 10 minutes while you put the boat in?
It's an hour process.
I mean, it is when you drive like you. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a.
Well, there's a case of a lady losing her Airbnb. She had like 9-something Airbnbs because she didn't disclose. It was like one of those where the top was rented out by one person and the bottom was rented out by just like a renter. And they came up and then, you know, people, they called the cops. And
yeah, the hostel style Airbnbs where multiple people are renting and then sharing bathrooms.
This one wasn't a hostel, but it was just enough where it's like if you don't. You know, if you don't include like who may be staying there and the cops get involved, they just shut her. Like she can't do Airbnb. Well,
Airbnb allows it. VRBO requires exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
If you rent the house on VRBO, it is you are the only person in the house.
And if
Airbnb is like you're renting a bedroom and a bathroom.
It's
and
no holds bar.
Yeah.
I like how everyone likes, oh man, we want to be like the UK. We want to be like the UK. We want to be like the UK. But then when it comes to hostels, they're like, nope, can't do that.
Can't share a bathroom.
Okay. So it's just pick and choose now. Yeah. Like, what are you like? Argue the point you want to argue. Stop.
Right. I can get on board with like sharing tables at restaurants, but not sharing.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Dude, I'll tell you what. So my stepbrother, Tyler, he lives in France now, right? So after high school and college, like, so he went to UMKC for a while. And then went overseas to finish the rest. He speaks German, French, all that. Like, when he came back the first time, he's like, dude, the hostel situation is weird. He's like, literally, you walk into a room, you've paid $10, there's 8 bunk beds, and it's just all strangers.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, dude, literally, you could get stabbed in the middle of the night, and he's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
He's like, these people are totally fine. Yeah. Just hanging out. Hey,
it's just,
you know, whatever.
Personal preference, like, right? A security thing.
Dude, I couldn't do it either. No, like, there's no way. Like, I couldn't lay there thinking, like, this crazy looking Ukrainian's going to stab me in the face while I'm asleep.
Right.
He's like, yeah, it's weird.
Or rifle through your stuff or take your money or, you know.
Or, anything. Yeah. I'm like, damn. I mean, he's like, man, but there's, you know, there's a lot of hot chicks. You know, like, he's like, yeah.
Trying to find the balance.
You know, but you got to go to I don't get it. I couldn't do it. It's weird.
I was just telling Danielle about this today. Dude. Seeing the need, like, you know, girls love to go party on boats, right? And
I have a daughter. Where are we going with this conversation?
Well, so like one of my friends posted like, hey, who's going to Lake of the Ozarks this weekend? And bonus, if you have a boat, like we need to hook up, right? And so in other words, she has a girl's weekend planned for Lake of the Ozarks and they're trying to find a boat to go hang out on and party on, right? And so I'm like, this is a golden opportunity. Like, you could provide.
If you're not married, it's a golden opportunity.
No, I'm not talking that. I'm just saying, like,
that's what I'm talking.
For a fee, you could provide the boat, the driver, go wherever you want.
Chauffeur, cash only.
It's almost like a limo, right? When you rent a limo,
it's a limo.
Unlimited mileage. They go wherever you tell them to go. You have them from this time to this time.
First off, I agree wholeheartedly.
I mean, it seems like a phenomenal
thing. Yeah, it does. It does, right up until you've had a few drinks and all those girls are 25 and you're like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
turn your eyes.
That's how you get in trouble. Like, let's be honest. Like, I know we've taken a right-hand turn here.
Some of us have some discipline and would say no, right?
Until one of them roofied the shit out of you.
Roofied.
It's not a one-way street, Mitch.
This is true.
I've seen some weird stuff happen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You want to talk about hitting the lottery, just, you know, get knocked out by Tyreek Hill. Seems pretty easy to do.
What, did he knock up another one?
Yeah, well, he's having...
What's he on, like 75?
He's having his fifth kid this year. In the last 12 months, he's having kid number 5, and it's the first kid with his wife.
There you go.
This is his 10th kid.
Do you remember, what was the guy's name?
He's got
name?
10 kids with 5 different women.
What was the guy's name that played for the San Diego Chargers? He had 20 kids with 20 different women. Do you remember that guy's name?
I don't know. It's probably alimony, if I had to guess.
But that's what he was doing. He was just walking around impregnating them all. Like, dude, like, at what point do you just go,
I can't, I mean, I can barely time afford for the two.
It's time for the snip. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love how...
I mean, yeah, if you want to go out there and be...
That's what I'm saying.
...liberated and bang whatever you want to bang, like, snip it, clip it, and then...
Be smart.
Live with no regrets.
No regrets. No regrets.
Regrets.
Not even one letter? No. Like, I don't understand. And those are the athletes that, like, you hear for 15 years from now, and they're done, they're like, well, I'm out of money.
Yeah.
Well, no shit,
no
bro.
Shit. Yeah.
No shit.
You gave it away before you ever even got going.
It's like, what are we doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, like, to each his own. I can understand, like, part, this is going to sound horrible. Like, a part of me wishes that I could have a 15-year span where I had $20 million and just could impregnate anything I wanted and pay for everything and drive a Ferrari. But it's like, I have a conscience, and at the end of 20 years, I can think, like, okay, where am I going to be? But, like, your internal man is like, dude, that'd be awesome. Like, so, Viking era stuff. Like, I gotta just do whatever I want.
So believe it or not, it's out of respect for women that I bring up this idea.
Oh, because, here we go.
No. Seriously. Because, like...
Careful. I love this podcast.
Prior to this idea...
I love this podcast.
Women have to act like they're interested in this rich old dude to get on their boat. Oh, can I bring a couple of friends? And then it's just the fat, rich old guy that looks like a toad. And... he's got a whole boat full of young women, right?
Yeah.
And it's everyone's lying to everybody, yeah, right? The rich guy's probably lying about how much money he's got.
Mad props, bro.
The girls are lying that they're interested in the guy and everything. And this is like, no, this goes the other way. And I'm willing to bet women would pay to not have to act like they're interested in somebody and just be like, let's say you get six girls together and they all want to chip in like $100. Well, there's $600 for you to take your boat out for the day, give them a good time, drive wherever they want, Party Cove, tie up, go water sport, do whatever. And all of it was above board. Nobody's lying to anybody. Nobody's acting like they're interested when they're not. Seems like a good idea. I might try it. We'll see.
I'm trying to decide what I want or don't want to say right now. Like I'm having a very deep internal conflict because I know for a fact that I'm trying to be careful.
What are you, biting your tongue for?
I'm trying. This is the first time ever in 2 years that I've bit my tongue and not said it. I know two women for a fact that I know very well that will not pay for that because they will manipulate men to get them to do what they want free.
Yeah, there's a market for everybody, right? There's women that'll still...
I wouldn't say market, but well, yes.
There's still women like, that'll lead a guy on to get on his boat and bring their friends and all that shit.
Like,
but there's also
plenty
of women...
let's go out this weekend, and then like they know they don't like him, but they know that he likes them, and if I invite him, he'll buy all my drinks and take me out, you know, and do all... Like...
This is basically a different version of a limo service, where it's just...
I know.
You're not
I get
to
what
lie
you're
to a
saying.
Limo driver. You're paying them, so they're going to take you wherever they want.
I know. I'm saying I don't know if women will do that.
I think they will.
I don't know. I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
I'm willing to gamble it.
I mean, what do I got to lose? I'm saying I don't know, and that I don't understand women in any form, era, or any way.
Yeah.
I'm just all I can say is what I've seen.
Do you want to talk
actually
about
happen?
The other lucrative business you stumbled upon you're telling me about before the podcast, or is that going to be...
You know, we're 20 minutes in and we have not talked about any topics.
Other lucrative... Oh, no, not yet. That's not even a business yet.
Potential.
That's just a potential. And we can't disclose that yet. Might get sued, so...
Am I involved?
No, not yet.
Okay, then it can't
be...
Then it can't be talked... you might be... It can't be talked about on the podcast.
Plausible deniability, Dave. Noted.
I take that seriously. Yeah. Well said.
So we'll wait to include you when the time is right. So
I appreciate that.
Topic one for the show.
Oh, we have topics today?
We have topics. Yeah. We've got a whole list of them. We'll see how many we get
through. All right.
When to take credit and when to give credit. And so what inspires this topic is it's about leadership in all facets, both leadership in a business, so leadership to your employees, leadership within your own family, but also leadership outward of your business to mentors or coaches or anybody else that you may be hiring to help with your business. And the number one sign of a bad leader is they take credit for shit that they shouldn't be taking credit for. And the number one sign of a good leader is they take credit when shit goes wrong, but they give away all the credit when shit goes right. And so it should be fairly easy to spot that, but a lot of people don't know that. And so as you're watching, you know, a lot of people are finding business coaches and things like that, or places to work, or significant others, they're watching social media behavior of those people. And social media is ultimately the place where they're going to do this the most because people love to flex on social media. And so if it's a bad leader, they're going to be taking credit for shit they didn't do. They're going to be taking credit for somebody else's hard work. They're going to be taking credit for a lot of shit that isn't theirs. And you can see that totally on social media. However, the flip side, if they're a good leader, you're going to watch them use their social media platform to give credit where credit's due, right? And so some like real life examples of this, we have clients in Tradewinds. We have clients in Tradewinds that have been a one truck company for 3 or 4 years before joining Tradewinds. And then within 4 to 6 months of joining Tradewinds, they're buying truck number two.
Yeah.
Right. And if we were bad leaders and bad mentors, we would take all that credit.
Yeah.
We would be like, they bought truck number two because of us. Right. It's the wrong way to think about it. Like they did all the work. All we did was got them out of their own way.
Yeah.
They still had to put down the capital. They still had to hire the person. They still had to find the vehicle, find the money to stock it, sticker it, shelve it, do all the things.
That's their win.
It's all on them.
It's their win.
Right? Yes, now, were we 100%. A part of that? Probably.
Of course.
We helped them see the forest through the trees. We helped them see the bigger picture. We helped them put a path together to acquire truck number two, right? However, you don't see us going around going, ha ha, so-and-so bought truck number two because of us.
Yeah.
What you see us going is, hey, one of our clients in Tradewinds bought truck number two. Hell yes.
I don't even do that.
Like, let's give a round of applause to this guy because he bought truck number two.
Like, I will share their stuff and I do this. This is bad. I shouldn't say this is bad, but this is not the way social media is supposed to work. Like, you're supposed to share that stuff, exploit that stuff so that you get more feedback or whatever. I will privately message them.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, dude, I am so proud of you. I can't believe it's only been X. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I make it just between us. Like, hey, you are killing it. Great. And I know that's, I should be sharing that, you know, to grow Tradewinds and all that. And I just, like, we've talked about it 100 times. I'm not good with the social media.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just who I am. I don't care. I'm more into like personal relationships and cheering guys on and rooting real fucking hard for them. Yep. And like when they have bad times, like, it hurts me personally. I'm like, dude, yeah, I'm so sorry, you know? But you're right. That is a win. That is a win for them.
Yeah.
Not for us.
Right.
That is their win.
Right. Right.
They worked hard for that.
Yeah.
I hate when, and I know you're going to go into something about this, but I hate when leaders and really bosses or managers specifically, like, rob credit and put it off on themselves. Like, it personally makes me a little mad. Like, dude, stop.
Right.
If you want an employee to go to bat for you for the next 5 years, you have to give them the credit they deserve.
Right.
You can't be robbing their earnings from them. Basically, that's what you're doing.
Right.
It's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
They're selfish people. When you get down to it, they're selfish people.
Yeah. And if you're in like middle management.
Ugh.
If you're in middle management, to where you manage some people, but you're also being managed by other people, the thing to learn is that praises go down and gripes go up. And so, in other words, the people that you manage, it's nothing but praise to them, especially in public. People love being praised in public. If you have complaints, you never complain down to the people below you. And I hate using the term up and down.
No, it's not. But remember the movie Saving Private Ryan?
Right.
Tom Hanks, walking through the field and he's like, I'd never gripe to you. Gripes go up.
Right.
You know?
Right. Same thing. Is you don't complain to the people that you manage. You complain to your manager and you do it in private. And you also never complain without proposing a solution. Because complaining without a proposed solution is nothing more than an adult baby whining. So
that's a good way to say it.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's 100% true.
If David and I worked together and
Mitch
David
would be dead.
David was like, you know, this is bullshit and we got to fix this and we got to fix that. And he didn't propose any solutions. He's just whining. But if David was like, this is bullshit, it cost us here. We've got to tighten this up. And I think we can do it if we do this. Now,
yeah,
Dave's a leader.
That's constructive back and forth.
Yes. Now he's not just communicating to complain. He's communicating to identify an issue and propose a solution. That's a whole different conversation. And so if you're in middle management, praises go down, gripes go up. If you're in upper management, praises go down and gripes go inward because there's nowhere else but, like, you can't go up. You are the up, right?
They go to the vodka bottle.
They go to your wife.
I'm kidding. Bitch, let me tell you what happened today.
Take it out on the cat.
No, yeah. What happened to the cat? Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's gone.
It's a bad day.
Yeah.
But you've got to learn, like, and there are times where you do need to constructively criticize your team. There's times where you do need to right the ship. You got to get it back on course and all that stuff. There's tactful, like, there's things where you talk about as a group and there's things where you talk about in private. And it just kind of depends on the issue. With our issue of the recent house flood, right? We talked about that publicly because, for one, the whole company already knew about it, but there was also a lesson for the whole company to learn there, right? If I needed to address the guys like about anything in particular, I would have done that in private.
Which I'm sure you did.
Right. But I'm not going to bust the guy's balls in front of everybody else. Like, no. That's the quickest way to demotivate your team is to chastise them in front of the group.
Yeah. So, well, and that's not just a, that's not just a management thing or a business thing. That's a friend thing. That's a kid thing.
That's a kid.
It's everything.
It's everything.
You want to make your kids feel like real crap, yell at them in front of their friends.
Right.
Like,
are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Or yell at them for in front of their teammates.
Right.
Like, stop.
Right.
Stop.
Same with your spouse, right? Like, if your spouse does something that you don't agree with in public is not the time to address it. Right? You wait, and then you address it later when it's just you and your spouse.
That is 100% true. I have seen Danielle yell at you in public, though, numerous times.
15, 20 years ago.
Also, like, with the feedback and... like one and done too. I've had experience of being like employed in management where it's like they would get on to me and the next time get on to me again. It's like, dude, like just one and done.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to continually beat right. me over the head.
How long is this 5 minute session going to take? Like yeah. 4 hours?
Yeah.
Well, in Austin's got a really cool saying where.
Oh, he does.
He'll talk about
my dad.
He'll talk about like people that watch sports, right? And if the Chiefs, we're all Chiefs fans, and if the Chiefs win, they'll say, we won. But if the Chiefs lost, they'll say, they lost. And right there, you can identify them as a leader that, maybe not a leader, but if they are a leader, they need some work. Right?
I always say they won or they lost.
Yeah, it's one thing if you say they won or they lost or we won or we lost. But if you're willing to say we won,
I just always say they,
if you're
I
willing
guess.
To lump yourself in with the team when they win, but you remove yourself from the team when they lose...
Yeah,
that just shows you right there. You don't have the characteristics of a true leader.
You know what? I might have said we lost. You know what? I'll have to think about that next time I'm yelling and screaming at the TV.
I'll say this. I've never lumped myself in with any team. Like, I enjoy watching the Chiefs for the entertainment that it brings, but I'm not the person that's like, yeah, we won. Because what the fuck did I do?
It's not,
I sat in a seat in the stands 100 yards from the field, didn't call a single play. Like,
it's not. Well, so you're at the stadium.
I mean, I'm supporting them by buying tickets.
Well, and you're supporting them by screaming and yelling and getting an offsides call.
I got tired of losing my voice, so I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
but
really
you did it before.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Timeout. You go to the games, and when the defense is on the field, you're not yelling and screaming.
Nope.
If there's anyone that works at the Chiefs organization that's listening to this podcast, revoke Mitch's fucking tickets right now.
Snipe them.
When they're on our end of the field, I get a little loud sometimes.
Oh, you get a little loud, do you? Pull up your skirt and yell. What? Come on.
Tuck the string and go.
Man, what does it matter to you?
He needs to be the drummer then. You know, the way up high, a little gong.
Dum,
that needs to be Mitch.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, but just to wrap up the wee thing, like when it's... How do I say this? Different people act differently when it comes to their hometown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm attached to our teams.
Yeah.
Because I'm from here. So I, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I'm attached to them.
You
but
know
at
what
the
I mean?
Same time, I realize that no matter what I do, it's not going to change the outcome of a game. So I don't deserve to say we on anything.
Well, maybe you should start screaming. You could say we.
There we go.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you'd feel more comfortable saying we
that's,
if you would yell at the team.
It's almost as silly as saying that the Chiefs are world champions when football's only played in the U.S. Like,
it's not only played in the U.S.
Okay. They take two American teams and ship them over to Germany and play a game in Germany. It doesn't make it a worldwide sport.
They have Canadian football.
They do.
Any more stupid statements?
Show me a Canadian football team that plays against the quote-unquote world champions.
I will counter that argument with everyone knows that the Premier League in soccer is in the UK is the world's best league.
Yeah.
So when they win, they're the world champs.
Right.
Okay?
I'll get
Same
that.
Thing here. Same thing here. This is the best league.
It's just silly.
Semantics.
It's like saying I'm the best reviewed plumbing company in the world.
in the world.
In the galaxy.
Alec Berg.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know.
Are you okay?
Nope. Absolutely not.
So, oh my God.
All right, topic two.
Topic two.
The difference is in the details.
Oh, I like this.
But don't let the details slow you down. So where this comes from is I'm connected with enough people. I monitor enough people's activity, both my guys on our company, people in Tradewinds, social media behavior, social media activities, group events, you name it, right? You will find people that space off all the small details and then complain that they aren't any farther along than they should be. I literally today, I had a meeting with a guy today that I met from a networking event, and he opened the meeting with, you know, I met you at that networking event, and then I did a little bit of research on you, and you're into everything. You got a plumbing company, you got a podcast, you got a YouTube, you do this coaching and mentoring thing, you're like all over Facebook. Like, I can't open Facebook and not see your stuff. And he's like, I want to know your secrets. And so he's,
I work hard, bitch,
quote unquote, picking my brain. Right. And so he's asking me mainly about marketing. And, and so I'm telling him about like all the different things that I do with marketing. And I had to let him know about the marketing agency that fucked me over. And so now I don't put all my eggs in one basket, and I have one company for SEO and one company for social media marketing and, you know, all these things. Right. And so he's taking notes and he's taking notes and he's taking notes. And then he's like, who runs your social media? And I said, I do that. And he goes, who runs your Google profile? And I said, I do that. And he was like, yeah, see, I still need to get on Google.
Bro.
And he's like a thriving business.
Bro.
That you can't even, he's not even Google verified. And I'm like, dude.
Bro.
You don't need to be asking SEO questions and marketing questions. And like, if you're not on Google, you don't exist. And that's all on you as the business owner. Yeah, I need to get around to that. But who's your SEO guy?
What and the fucking like, difference does it make? You're not on Google for SEO.
Yeah. Well, like, what's SEO going to do if you're not on Google? Like, you gotta, like, yes, you have a website. However, Google in running your Google profile effectively
it funnels traffic
instrumental to your website.
To your website, yeah. What do you, like?
Right.
What can I ask you this? I mean, I kind of want to know the guy's name, but what did he do?
He does data and telecommunication wires for large projects. So, like, he's doing all the data in one light and two light and three light and four light and five light downtown.
Doing he's a low voltage guy.
Yeah. So for security systems, key card access, all
commercial
those kinds
low
of things.
Voltage.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And, he's an AV guy. And so he's like, I get all my work from word of mouth, so I don't really need the website. And I'm like, yeah, you do. Because what happens? Like, let's just say I don't know you from Adam, and I'm getting ready to build a high rise downtown, and I'm told you're the low voltage guy. Well, I'm going to go to Google and check you out. What happens when I can't find you on Google? Must not be that great.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't even have a Google.
Yeah.
If you don't have Google, you don't exist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Even we've talked about this 100 times. Even if you don't search Google to find someone, you search Google to see how legitimate they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like a personal checklist.
Right.
Like, I'm going to check out these X, Y, and Z to make sure this guy's legit. I went to Google. No website.
Right.
Okay.
Gone.
Yeah.
Off the list of possibilities.
I guess I'm calling Dan Miller now.
And I told him flat out, I'm like, how Googleable you are will determine your level of success. And so you got to get out there on Google. I'm like, if you Google my name, if you Google Mitch Smedley, it's pages of shit. It's pages of shit with articles of me being printed in the New York Times and our podcast and podcast episodes and other websites that have shared snippets of our podcast episodes. And like every time I've ever been mentioned on the internet, it's there. And then I go Google his name and it's like, for one, he's got his Facebook locked down. You can only see like 4 photos.
Yeah, you've got to at least...
That looks sketch.
You've got to be open on Facebook. Mitch made me do it. I hate it.
You don't like
it. People send me shit all the time.
It looks sketch when you log on and it's like the last photo was from 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. Yeah.
So, some of it, like, America is evolving to a more scared position than we've ever been ever. And I'm not going to make this about anonymous posts, but your anonymous posts are a good anonymous posts are a good indicator of that, with how many people post anonymously over the stupidest shit ever, right?
Yeah. I'm going to get an anonymous post board, like, and put it up so many days till Mitch's next mention of anonymous posts.
but what it's just an indicator of how scared we are as Americans, and people are double checking and triple checking and vetting and everything else. We have a client in TradeOne right now that he gave a water heater recommendation. Recommendation to a customer. It was for a Bradford White water heater, which you cannot buy publicly. You have to be a licensed plumber to buy them.
Nope.
This engineer hates that Neenan? He can't provide his own water heater.
Is it Neenan? Neenan says Bradford White. I think Ferguson
it's
does too.
It's different everywhere.
Ferguson does too.
But this engineer hates that he wants to provide his own equipment because he thinks he's going to save money, and he hates that he can't buy Bradford White anywhere. So he's coming up with all of these unique and interesting models that he can buy, and he was wanting Dave to install them.
And no problem. I'll install it. No warranty.
Right. Well, I mean, that comes down to it.
I'll put in whatever you want, man.
But that just goes to show you the level of insecurity that we have in the world. He's insecure about letting his plumber provide the unit that his plumber's comfortable with. He wants to provide his own because he thinks he's better. I saw just the other day on Facebook.
That's an engineer. Engineers are weird. Like, I have some really good friends that are engineers, and they just think a little differently.
They overthink everything.
They're weird cats.
Yeah.
They're smart, but they're weird.
Engineers and welders are not too far off the same tree. Because engineers think they can solve all the world's problems through engineering.
Yeah.
And welders think they can solve all the world's problems through welding. Right?
I've never heard anyone say that before.
Oh, no, 100%.
That's so good.
Like, like that wouldn't have broke if it was welded with T6347 aluminum. You know? Didn't have that weld x-ray. Like they're just...
I know. I know what you're saying.
It's like, it's a race car that hit a wall at 190 miles an hour. I'm pretty sure it was going to break, you know? Not if I would have welded it. Like, they're just... That's how welders... Engineers are the same way.
I love it. I love it.
Engineers fail to recognize that sometimes shit just breaks.
Yeah.
They're always looking for a breakdown in engineering.
Do you remember when that highway bridge collapsed? Like, this has been like 6 years ago. It was in Kansas City.
Yep.
And it was literally like we had got so much rain that the soil destabilized and it ran out. And then all the engineers that I talked to, I'm like, hey, you know what happened? They're telling me, I'm like, oh, so I guess engineering can't like solve everything because there's no way that you could possibly take everything into account.
Right.
Like, yeah. Sometimes happens. And they're like, well, you know, a lot of that stuff's an estimated guess. I'm like, dude, like literally 6 months ago, you'd have died on that hill.
Yeah.
And now it's an estimated guess. Like, well, come on, bro.
That's like all the climate change people.
Oh,
the
I know,
classic thing. We've got 7 years until we're gone because of this.
Yeah. That was 27 years ago.
Right.
Guess what? We're still here, bitches.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
How does, if you've been on, search anything on Google in the last like week or two, it gives you an AI summary at the top.
Oh, yeah.
How is that changing in any way with Google Guaranteed or any of that sort of stuff?
So, yes, actually it is. So, like, as you Google LSA is getting ready to...
They're going AI.
They're going AI.
Yeah.
So, you're going to have artificial intelligence assisted search responses and search answers on Google.
And basically what they're doing is they're using AI. So... This is my overview, and if you think I'm wrong, you tell me. This is just my personal opinion. So normally, when you think of, and this is going to be totally layman's terms broke down, when you would Google something, it would pull all of the related facts and keyword searches and everything and put it out there, right? And then it would list those in order from 1 to 10 by how relevant it was to your search in your area. Right. But now they're using AI to instead of the code searching for those keywords in relation, they're using AI to cover like a million more data points that relate to that search and then give you those answers. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is, I shouldn't say a lot of it, some of the issues guys are facing now when they're not coming up as number one, number two, number three relevant searches is because they are using AI and that person has been dormant for a week.
Right.
So say they've been dormant for a week and work's been slow, a week, week and a half, whatever. Well, now AI, instead of putting them one or two or three like they have been, Well, they were slow the last week, so now they're 13 instead of one.
Right.
Yeah, it's,
like, and I'm trying to dumb it down, but yeah. Like, and it's going to be a very interesting.
For me, it's like a rule set. I'd say, okay, we had to know these things to kind of get our stuff seen on Google, but now the landscape is changing.
Yeah,
so well, you have things we have to feed and
well, it's
we
forever changing.
Yeah. So say you when you're normally using Google, you had to know five keywords. Okay, five key things. Well, now AI is saying, nope, I'm looking for 200 key things.
Yeah, 100%.
And those 200 key things are drastically different than those first five.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, if someone's not involved, if someone's not in social media, if someone's not posting to their Google business page a lot, like they're falling down rapidly.
And just on
and instead of like before, if you were number one, now you're falling down to number 10, number 13 slowly. Now it's instantaneous.
Right.
AI is making it instantaneously. Okay, last week he didn't do anything. He went from 1 to 13.
Right.
And business owners are like, holy shit, what just happened?
Right. Another
Does that
thing,
make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And AI is still hard to understand at these times because it's unpredictable and it's computer driven, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing...
It's unpredictable because we don't... It's not a person doing it. So it's hard for us to relate to what is it looking for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's so you got to keep in mind, AI is the best summary of responses of all of the internet. So AI is average results. It is common results. By the way, our 4 o'clock call just texted and needed to reschedule so we can run long if we need.
Okay. That's so weird. First off, Will texted me earlier today and said, hey, is my call at 4? I said, yeah, man, we'll see you at 4.
He's got a job that ran long.
Okay. He said... Yeah. Oh, great. Just checking.
Yeah.
Like, no. One last question.
That's good, though.
He's on a job that
it's
ran
okay.
Long.
Go ahead, Austin.
Like, one last question, because I know that the topic's going to get, like, you know.
It's okay. We got tons of time now.
I get in my thing.
We were trying to get it all in real quick. Yep. Now we got tons of time.
My other thing now is, as far as it changes the landscape, because say, if you have a really unique article about something, and it's like maybe 10 10 websites down, but if your answers and stuff is going to be featured in the overview, the AI, it's like all of a sudden it just makes... tons of articles and websites just irrelevant out the get-go.
Well, so
it can. I get what you're saying.
If it's for like just like a common question, I guess.
Yes.
So as Lewis pointed out this morning on our TradeWinds coaching call.
By the way.
Best coaching call we've had the existence of TradeWinds.
Let me ask you something, and this is not off topic, but so when we record those Zoom calls, and then like can I download that and then save it?
You can't download it and save it, but what I can do is download it, put it on YouTube as unlisted. You can download it.
Okay.
But they're huge files.
I don't care.
So we download it, we put it on YouTube as unlisted.
Okay.
And
we should do that.
We can share it wherever we want.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Because
we totally should.
It's freaking amazing. It was amazing. I was blown away.
Yeah. And as he pointed out, there's a lot of confusion with search engine optimization and where you rank in Google. People think Google ranks websites, and it does not. It ranks articles on pages within websites.
Yes. When he said that today, I was like, oh, shit.
And it makes perfect sense.
I was like, oh, man.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of those things like I always knew, but I didn't know other people didn't know. And so it was like whenever like I've probably had a lot of failed conversations because I knew they ranked pages. And this person
probably thought
they ranked websites.
Mitch, I had no idea.
Right.
This is also...
I didn't know that they went by the page and then pages that link to that page and then that page. Like, well, it's a giant spider web of... I had no idea.
Think about it this way.
It's
you
amazing.
Go Google, like, what's the best...
So good.
What's the best recipe for an old-fashioned? You're not going to get directed to the bartender's website. You're not going to get directed to the DIY bartender. You're going to get directed to the page with the article about their recipe for the old fashioned. Right. And so it makes logical sense that they rank pages. They don't rank sites.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, we have not gotten off topic, but I do want to kind of remind everybody that the topic we're talking about is the differences in the details, but don't let them slow you down. And we're talking about a whole lot of shit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of very specific details, but here's what happens with details is people will be like, we just dropped a bomb, I'm sure for some people about Google ranking pages and not websites. And so now they're going to go way off into the weeds and put off the production of their new site for another 6 months because they got to get the pages right.
Do not do that.
Do not, like,
finish
understand
your shit.
Yeah, understand the difference is in the details, but don't let them slow you down. The second part of that statement is the most important. So many people fail to start their business because it's not ready. Well, guess what? You're never ready to start a business.
No.
You're never ready to have kids.
No.
If we waited until we were ready to have kids, we would all be having geriatric pregnancies because, like me, perfect example. I didn't want to have kids until I had their college paid for and until we had a house paid off and all this shit.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you used to think that way?
Oh, 100%.
You crazy bastard.
And it didn't
bastard.
Take me very long at all before Danielle was like, we're never going to be ready. Like, by the time we have that.
Yeah, I'm 50.
I'm 50 or 60, yeah. And then it's unhealthy for me to have kids, right?
Yeah. This is the same conversation of, and I think a lot of people.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
I don't know if my dad listens to this podcast or not, but I'm going to use him as an example because I think he does this. Like, there's always a list of bullshit that you have to get done, right? Like, it's constant. You know, I got to fix this on the house. I got to, the yard needs this. The car needs this. The truck needs this. And so you put off having fun or doing fun things because you want to get things knocked off that list. Look,
right.
When you die, there are going to be things on that fucking list. The list will always be there.
Right.
Like, it's never ending.
So, like, you can break this down to very, very simple things. I'll use some examples for me because I don't know any examples from the other people out there. But like, let's say there's a simple thing that you want to do, but you're just not ready for it, right? For instance.
Man, this is kind of like my Monday Motivational from the other day.
I have not listened to your most recent one, by the way. I haven't had time. So I will.
Man.
I listen to them all. I just haven't had time.
You liar.
But,
he listens to them now that they're,
now
on,
that they're
Facebook.
On the Facebook. I do.
He hasn't gone back and watched a year and a half full of them.
No. But so like... Like last week, as I'm trying to be a mentor to my son and show him not to be afraid of doing hard things and with this wakeboarding thing, right?
Yeah.
So I've already done all the hardest things ever. Buying a wakeboarding boat is not easy. Affording a wakeboarding boat is not easy. Right?
Coming up, depends on which boat you buy, but yes.
Right.
I'll give you that.
And so I've already done all the hardest things. The least I can do is get out there on a wakeboard and show him, like, okay, if your old man can do it, surely you can do it.
Yeah.
Because you should be more athletic than your old man, right?
Yeah.
And so...
You guys are probably 50. You're probably about the same guy right now.
No, close.
Yeah.
But
he's still figuring it out.
And so I go out there and I'm eating shit and I'm learning that I'm allergic to lake water. And so now I've got all this sinus bullshit and everything
you
else.
You sound better today than
I
you...
do.
And what did you take?
I'd taken Allegra every day.
There you go.
A couple of Advil.
Good for you.
I've also learned that if I do a saline sinus rinse after I have been off the water, then that helps. But anyway, so I'm out there, like I could easily say, I'm not ready. My foot hurts or,
yeah,
you know,
there's always an excuse.
What if I get hurt or like, what if, right?
It's always an excuse.
And I'm like, it's just fucking water at 20 miles an hour. Like, can it hurt? Yeah. Could I get hurt? Yeah. But I could also crash my car on the way home.
What?
So like.
This from the guy who used to ride sport bikes at 120 mile an hour.
Never broken a bone in my life.
Me neither.
Right. So, right. So,
yeah, dude,
time's coming, I'm sure. But,
nah.
So, you know, I could take the adage of I'm not ready to try to jump wake to wake, but then it's like, I've eaten shit 5 or 6 times on
yeah.
this board already.
Yeah.
Like, what's a couple more?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, let's just do it. And so like there was a day last week where I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to dig in hard. I'm going to hit this wake faster than I've ever hit
it. I got to get out as far left as you can or right, whatever way you go, and then come all across as fast as you can.
I'm either
going to
make it or I'm going to eat shit. There's only two possible outcomes. Yeah. At least I've narrowed it down to two.
Yeah. And hopefully your ligaments are stronger than water. You'll be fine.
And I made it.
Yeah.
And we celebrated. And then I went right back across the wake and I backed it up and did it again. And we celebrated.
And then I ate shit the next time.
Well,
yes.
I spent all day yesterday eating shit.
Dude, that's just life though.
That is
just fucking life.
And so, but ultimately I showed to Mason that it's possible if you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
Now, ironically, do you think there's any correlation between the fact that he went wake to wake the very next time he came out on the boat?
Of course there is.
Of course there is, right?
Of course there is.
Leaders show the way. They show you what's possible.
Well,
right?
And they breed, real leaders breed confidence.
Exactly.
We've talked about this a lot. Like when you step out on your own, if you're not confident, you're probably not going to do well out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But you step out there confident and say, this is my town. I know my trade. I'm getting after it. You're going to be successful.
Right.
Like, and we can see it in the guys, like the guys that are new and young and a little nervous, they struggle the first couple months, first 3 months. The guys that come out of management roles that have already been tested by fire, they come out and they're like, fucking let's get it.
Right.
And in the first month, they're like, yeah, I did 30 grand this month. You're like, dude, what? Yep. I did 40 next month. I did 45. I'm looking at hiring two guys. Like, holy shit, man. Like you can tell. When you have confidence and someone has instilled in them, and I'm not, to our first topic, I'm not taking credit for that. I'm giving the credit to their managers and their mentors at their old jobs when they were managers. You know what I mean?
And we just helped them realize the confidence they had that they didn't even know they have.
Yeah.
It's still all them doing the work.
Yeah, of course. And their previous employers, you know, instilling in them that confidence.
Right.
You know, and their employees listening to what they had to say and them having their own, like whatever group or quad or Q or whatever you want to say they're in, it being successful has given them confidence to then step out.
Right.
You know,
right.
For those that don't, it's our job.
Right.
It's our job to build them up.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of this, like Mason could have been like, well, dad's different. Dad's not ready. Or, you know, I'm not ready to, you know, dad.
Dad's older. He has more experience. Yeah. Layla does that to me all the time.
He could have thrown in all those excuses and allowed those details to stand in his way.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, pay attention to the details because the details matter. Like we changed the setup up for Mason to make it wake to wake. We shortened the rope a little bit. We changed the boat speed a little bit. Like we modified things to make it happen. But so we paid attention to the details enough to make it happen, but we didn't pay enough attention to the details to prohibit it from happening. And it's kind of like charging into something you've never done before. Recognize the hazards. Don't vocalize them, but recognize them.
And deal with them.
So then deal with them as you come across them.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, 80% of those hazards you're afraid of will never actually make it, right? I've been afraid of a lot of shit in this world.
We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah. I've been afraid of a lot of shit in this world. Most of it never actually occurred.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because we let our, like, social media and mainstream media both fill us with fears of what could happen. Like this whole cicada bullshit.
I remember, this isn't going to be off topic, but I know where you're going with this. When Joe and I lived, we must have been 14, 15, 16, something like that. My dad's blue farmhouse, right? Mm-hmm. When they came through that time, when we were about that age, like we would go outside with wiffle ball bats and tennis rackets and shake the tree and they'd come off in the thousands.
Yeah.
This year will not even be that bad.
No.
It's freaking, it's just people need something to create drama and ensue and fulfill their lives with something meaningful because they're just floating through life.
Well, and
that's another topic for another day, but
it's because people thrive on fear and they allow fear to run their life instead of dreams.
Yeah.
And realizing their dreams, right?
I'm afraid that when I have the window down, a cicada is going to hit me in the face. But I'm not worried that they're all going to eat all my everything I own, and I'll be, you know, starving to death. I'm fine. It's fine.
Like,
relax.
Like, yes, what the media is saying is true.
Been hit with one? Oh, it's brutal.
There are two broods of cicadas that are going to emerge this year. Okay. That is true.
Dun.
Now, go do some research on those two broods.
Yeah.
Go do some research and learn where they're at in America. Mm-hmm. They're not even close to each other.
No.
So it's not like you're getting a double dose of cicadas.
No. If it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
I hate, and that's why I hate the news, man. It's just, Like, it drives me insane.
Danielle and I she rode along with me today as I was doing work and doing all my errands and shit that I had to do. And so we grabbed lunch in between two of our stops. And they had a news thing on at the little place where we were having lunch. And the news was talking, it was these news anchors standing out at a busy intersection, letting us know of the cost of Memorial Day travel this year. And I look over at Danielle and I'm like, can you imagine that there are so many people in the world that are so scared that they're allowing the cost of Memorial Day travel to like run their life?
Yeah. And
the news is comparing like the price of fuel this year to the price of fuel last year. Like, it fucking matters. The price of fuel this year is the price. Like, yeah. What are you going to do? Not buy gas?
I hate the ones that are like, oh man, they put their graphic up and they're like, over here, it's 10 cents less. Okay, if I buy $25 or 25 gallons worth of gas at 10 cents, what is that, $2.50?
Yeah.
You're telling me it cost me $2.50 more?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
It's $2.50.
Yeah. That's like, what I'm saying.
I just...
You've got these people that are running scared.
It's insanity.
They're letting the details slow them down, right? Oh, I can't get gas today. My rewards points don't kick in till tomorrow. Like, just get gas when you need gas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
insane.
Right.
It's freaking insane.
You see people all the time allow outside influences to feed them details to fear that aren't even going to make a difference anyway. You know, like, I mean, it's what is it? Tuesday before Memorial Day weekend right now, right? By the time this podcast airs, it'll be Friday before Memorial Day weekend. If you have plans this weekend, you've already had them.
Yeah.
You made those plans without worrying about the price of gas.
Yeah. Oh my God, you might spend $20 more on gas.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Right.
Oh no. The hotel you just spent money on was $400 a night. You're gonna worry about the $25?
Right.
Stop.
And you're gonna go to the bars this weekend and drop $100 on liquor. You know, like, but
no
let's
comment.
But let's stress about 10 cents cheaper gas over here than over here.
It's insane. People will become paralyzed. So,
well, there's a lot of people
paralysis by analysis it happens.
There's
Stop.
A lot of people that already are, right?
Yeah.
And the claims that you get of, I'm on a fixed income.
We're all on a fixed
income. We're all
on
a fixed income. And guess what? Those that don't appear like they're on a fixed income,
they're negative.
No.
Just letting you know.
It's because they've taken matters into their own hands and they've said, I'm in charge of my own income. And rather than live in fear that my money's going to run out, I'm going to earn more money.
Well, people use that term like too loosely. Like, the definition of really a fixed income is someone that's on an income that they cannot add to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
older people that can't necessarily contribute to the working class of society any longer, and they're on Social Security.
Because they just physically can't do it.
Right.
And, you know, that is a fixed income.
It is.
That is a fixed income. The rest of you that are like, well, you know, I'm on welfare and I'm, I can't get a new job and I can't, and then, like, they're just throwing excuses out there.
Right.
Not all of them. I don't want to put everyone in one, but a majority of them, that's all they're doing.
Right.
They're just using it as an excuse.
Right.
Like, you don't have to eat oatmeal cream pies today. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to eat Cheetos.
Well, and
like, what do you, stop.
And the flip side of that is like,
you don't have to buy energy teas.
If you're on the younger side of things, listening to this podcast, and you've definitely heard the fixed income rebuttal, let that inspire you. Let that inspire you to never put yourself in a position where you're using that as an excuse, right? When I look at something that's really expensive, the words that pop into my head are not, I can't afford that. The words that pop into my head are, how can I afford that? Right? So 18 months ago, when I decided I wanted to buy a wake surfing boat,
here we go with
it it wasn't that I can't afford that. It was, how can I afford that? And I started putting plans in place to make it happen. 18 months later, I'm in a position to afford it. Right? And so if I took the adage of, I can't afford that, I can't afford that, I can't afford that, well, now my identity becomes the guy that can't afford a wake surfing boat.
Yeah.
And then your identity very quickly becomes the guy that can't afford a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so...
Now, I will say, I think of it that way. Like, so, I want to buy a new truck.
Right.
I will think, I can't afford that. I know that that's not the truth. It's more of, I don't want to afford that.
You don't want to afford that. That's different.
You know what I mean? That's like, I want to, and that's why I bring it up.
One is a choice, whereas another is a resigned victimhood.
And that's why, I bring that up. Because, like, I know I could go buy any truck I want.
Yeah.
Okay? If I want to have payment, like, what's the saying for Americans? You can have anything you want. You can't have everything you want.
Right.
I could have that truck. You know what I mean? But there are other things that I want instead of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So we have to... As far as attention to detail, we have to decide what details we want to look at.
Yeah.
What things do we want to own? What things do we want to possess? Because we can't have it all.
Right.
Like, and the detail is, if I buy this, I can't have this.
Yeah.
If I want to pay for my kid to go to college and she not have to worry about it, maybe I wait on that truck one more year.
Right.
You know what I mean? And those are choices that we have to make. Attention to detail is really... And I kind of want to talk about another part of it. Attention to detail is really the choices that we make and the things that we see that are in front of us.
Yep.
Like when normal people think of attention to detail, and this is how I think of it, like people that are really, really good at attention to detail can do any job on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. As they can organize, they can run a service-based company, they can... you know, dot their I's and cross their T's. There's literally nothing they can't do because they put processes in place to take care of all the details that will run that company.
Right.
Does that make sense?
100%.
Like when I think of attention to detail, that's what I think of. Like there was no job I couldn't figure out and do because my attention to detail personally is great.
Yeah.
Like there are just things that I don't miss. Like there are things people miss and I'm like, hey, you didn't see that. You didn't see this. You didn't see that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's planning, that's projecting, that's like a whole nother side of attention to detail. Like that's what separates really great, I don't want to say employees, but I'm going to say employees, great employees from shit employees, right?
It's what separates good from great everywhere around the world.
Yes, it can. Yeah. And it's one of those things that it is one of those skill sets that you can train yourself to be good at. You don't necessarily just have to be born and be great at it.
Right.
Like you can slow yourself down and make a checklist. And now you are attending to those details via the checklist
mm-hmm.
because you naturally don't do it.
Right.
That SOP puts you in a position to succeed regardless of how fast or how wild your brain's running around because you built that list. That detail list.
Take pilots, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The reason why people are afraid to give attention to the details is their pride gets in the way.
And I can do it.
I can do it, right? I'll remember it. I'm strong. I'm capable.
Man,
and our emotions fuck our memory over all the time, right?
Yeah, 100%, man.
And if you don't believe me, try getting mad at something, and then you're going to forget something else.
Dude,
right?
I have a real problem with this. And I didn't notice it till I got about 35. Like, I could just remember everything short term.
Right.
Be like, I don't need to write that down. Now I'm like, if I don't write it down, I'm effed.
Right.
I can't remember anything.
Airline travel is the safest travel in America. Okay? Less deaths per passengers in airline travel than any other travel in America.
Yes.
And so...
But not...
Why?
Crash survival rate.
Right. but fewer crashes.
I agree. I'm just fucking
and,
with
and
that's
so
the way,
then
that's the way to go though. Instant death.
But then it's like you look at it and why? Well, there's two reasons why. One, attention to detail in redundancy. There is two forms of redundancy on every aircraft for everything out there.
It needs to probably be three these days.
They can manually start engines or they can electrically start engines. They can manually release the landing gear or they can do it electronically. There's two forms of air pressure readings on every aircraft and all of this stuff, right? And you've got autopilot, you've got manual pilot, you've got all of these redundancy features. So that's one, attention to detail. They were so attentive to the details, they created redundancy. The other is pilots don't have pride in their cognitive abilities. pilots recognize that, hey, sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed and we're off our game a little bit. So that's why we have this thing called a pre-flight checklist that no matter how awesome I am and no matter how many hours of experience,
I have to go through this list.
I go through the checklist. Yes, I know to check the ailerons before every flight. Cool.
What the fuck's an aileron?
You don't know what an aileron is?
No.
It's the flaps on the wings.
Oh, okay.
So
I learned something new today.
Yeah. Like, you know, yes, I have to check this, and yes, I have to check that, and yes, I check this and check that. And individually, it's like, yeah, how could you forget that? How could you forget that? Well, when you look at the pre-flight checklist and it's 100 items long, let's just say you had a 97% success rate with those checklists.
Yeah.
Boy, I sure hope those three items that you forgot.
Yeah, I hope one of them wasn't fuel.
Right.
Like, you know, like, oh, shit.
Exactly.
We're halfway there. Hey, guys, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
We got to pull over and get some gas.
I forgot to check the gas gauge. Yeah. We are going down in a blaze of glory.
Right.
Free vodka for everyone on the way down. Like, you know, it's just...
Make sure to tuck your head between your knees.
Yeah, yeah.
So your neck snaps quickly.
Find the hottest girl you can in the cabin and...
High club is on.
Yeah, like, we got about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just...
Right.
It's truth, though.
But... That's the difference that separates the guys who do amazingly well and the guys that don't, is the guys that don't have all this pride thinking they can handle it all. The guys that do amazingly well, guys, girls, whatever, the people that do amazingly well,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
They rely on their checklist and they also rely on input from others. Take Patrick Mahomes, for example. He doesn't take, he's not like, oh, I've got my nutrition in check. No, he's got a nutrition coach.
Yeah.
Right?
And his wife's walking in there going, did you eat one more chicken wing? I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
He's not going, I've got my money in check. He's got a financial coach. He's not going, I have my training in check. He's got a fitness coach.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's recognized that, yes, he has to pay attention to the details, but rather than try to take them all on himself and drop most of them, he's hired a team of people to help him succeed.
Yeah. How many times have I talked about Monday Motivational to the guys in the one-on-ones? I bet you at least 10 times I brought up checklists.
Yeah.
Like I know, and I'm not some multimillionaire guy, guru, whatever. Like you would think it would be easy. I can't even survive without checklists.
Right.
Like I literally, like on Monday mornings, just full transparency, I go down to my office. I after I get my kid on the bus and I do our books for Tradewinds.
Right.
Okay. I literally, before I do the books, I start a checklist. What do I need to get done today? Books.
Right.
Monday Motivational. There's a list of 10 things. And if I don't sit there and write them down and just think I'm going to get all this stuff done, dude, there's three things that I miss. Like I'm like, I'll be sitting there. Janine will text me, hey, you want to go get lunch? Yeah. Next thing you know, I forgot about everything. I'm done. 4 o'clock rolls around. Oh shit.
Never got lunch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't get this. Didn't get that. Didn't do, you know, it's just, it's like to be humble within yourself and say, I don't have it all under control and I need to put processes in place to make sure I have everything under control. Like
right.
That's step one to winning. Right.
I mean, Andy Frisella has one of the greatest, personal excellence podcasts ever.
I don't know. Who
and entrepreneurship podcasts. His shit's awesome. But he has what he calls the power list. It's 5 tasks that he writes down every day in the morning or the night before of, if I get these 5 tasks done tomorrow or today, this day will be a success.
The company has moved forward.
Life has, not just company, life. And he probably has 2. He's probably got 1 personally and 1 for business.
Yeah, probably.
But those 5 tasks.
That makes sense.
Like the problem without... The problem when you let the details slow you down. People who let the details slow them down think of everything they have to do, and then they get ADD and they can't target on one and solve it. They give a half-assed effort at this one, don't fix it. They give a half-assed effort at this one, don't fix it. They give a half-assed effort at this one and don't fix it.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, they still have just as many problems to solve.
Yeah.
Whereas if they would have said, okay, these 2 can wait, I'm nailing this one and we're solving it today.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Now, tomorrow, your list is 1 item shorter, right?
And you know, when you make those checklists, and like you said, okay, I got that knocked out. Sometimes those things go quick. Like, oh, okay, I knocked out this, 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 this. Oh, I got stuck on this today. I got most of it done. Tomorrow, guess what? Finish that one.
Right.
Then start with a new list and move on to the... You know, like, I'm very task-oriented, and I if I don't move that way, like you were just saying, oh, I'm going to get distracted over here and over here and over here. It's like, if you have 10 things to do, you have nothing to do.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting any of them done. Yeah, it's just reality.
If especially everything is important, nothing is important. If,
as you get older as a man, I don't know if women are this way or not, but as a man, like it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just, when I was 25, it didn't matter.
Right.
There could be 75 things up, knock this out, this. And now it's like, man, if I don't write that shit down and stay focused and get this done, I'm not even, I won't get anything done.
Yeah.
It's awful.
The
little look into my life.
the power list that Andy Frisella talks about are 5 actionable items that he can complete. They're not conceptual items. It's not like make 20 sales today, because you can't control if people will buy.
It's make 20 sales calls.
He might have make 20 sales calls.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be hold the meeting with the guy about the business arrangement.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be. Right. Maybe it's a business lease, or maybe you're selling your business. Like, who knows? But hold the meeting. Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be meet with so-and-so at a networking event, or I blend the power list with my calendar. And everything that's important is on my calendar. And if it's on my calendar, it gets done. Right. And so like date night, that goes on my calendar. So on Wednesday nights, that's part of my power list items. Like the day is not complete until I've completed date night.
You don't add a extra task. You just count that as one of your tasks.
Yeah. Well,
cheater.
So mine's like daily, right?
Oh, okay.
But my allegiance is to my calendar. And so if somebody calls me up out of the blue and is like, hey, can you meet today? Before I even answer them, I look at my calendar.
Yeah, I got to check, bro.
I had somebody message me today, and they're wanting to meet with me. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I don't really want to meet with this guy.
Well, then don't.
But
let's get to the... I don't want to get completely off topic, but you know, we talk about say yes all the time. Yes, 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 yes.
Right.
You are to the point of you got to start saying no to some things.
Oh no, I say no. I say no plenty.
I love you, brother. You got to start saying no.
Yeah. No, I say no plenty.
You'd kill yourself.
Can
I take the meeting for it?
That would not go well.
What the fuck does that mean?
So as I've talked about on the show, I've been a part of an entrepreneurship group called Apex. They're based out of Dallas. And
because I'd be like, you tell everyone that I told them from you to Mitch, fuck off.
No, I'm leaving that organization, not on any bad terms, not because anybody's done anything wrong or anything like that. It's just, I feel like I've learned what I can from the organization and I'm cycling out of the organization.
Yeah, you've run your course.
And they, you know, I'm kind of a success story for that organization. And so they want me to stay in and
don't do it for free.
And so
make that money.
One of the leaders in that organization messaged me today and they were like, hey, I've got an idea. When do you have time to meet? And it's one of those things where it's like, if I had already left, I would just say no. But since I'm still in and I'm wanting to leave on good terms, because again, they haven't done anything wrong or anything like that, then it's like, okay,
yeah, I get it.
Let's, you know, I'm going to entertain it. The guy who messaged me, he's got some really fucking good ideas. And so it's like, can anything bad happen? No. Can anything good happen? Maybe. I'll find the time.
Yeah. Right?
And so the first thing I do is I look at my calendar and I let him know, hey, Fridays, I've got some availability. What do you have in mind? And he's a busy guy. So it's one of those things where I'll send him a message and I don't hear back from him for 2 hours and he'll send me a message.
Yeah.
And I won't send, you know, reply to him for 2 hours type of thing. But like running my calendar and letting my calendar choose what happens and what doesn't makes all the difference in the world. But on the lower level side of things, if you're an employee, you need to learn how to find answers on your own without calling your boss for answers all day long, every day.
Yeah.
Your boss's job is to run the department or run the company. Your boss's job isn't to be your answer. Right. So many times, especially if you're an employee of a company looking to start your own company and you're listening to this show, you need to learn that the answers are out there on the internet.
Your job as an employee is to be as self-sufficient as you can be.
Right.
And that changes. And I say that because when you're new, yeah, there's a lot more phone calls.
Right.
You know, as you kind of get it felt out. Okay, I don't have to call all the time. I can Google this and I can search this and I can call one of the other guys and say, you know what I mean? And if you have real thoughts of grandeur or being on your own, like, you have to be good at figuring it out and finding your own solutions, because when you're on your own, like, you can get business coaching, you can do all that, but on day-to-day stuff, you're on your own, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally up to you to figure it the F out.
Right. And
that's
so
just,
like,
part of it.
If you encounter a problem that you've never had to solve before, your boss might be a resource, but there's a thing called the internet out there that's going to be a lot better resource than your boss. Learn how to use the internet to find the solutions you're looking for, because then you're forever set up for success. If you call your boss every time you're in a pickle, then all you're training yourself to do is that my boss has all the answers and I'm actually worthless because I'm just an extension of my boss's brain, right?
Yeah, just an extra set of hands for him.
Right. And so if you can show that I can solve problems, like your boss would rather get a phone call saying, hey, I came up to this problem, I didn't know how to fix it, but I Googled it and I found a couple of articles and then I learned how to fix it. But it also raised a couple more questions. So now whenever you have time, I'd love for you to teach me about this. That's a whole different phone call than, hey, boss, call me ASAP right now. I got a problem and I need you to help me fix it. And
this,
if you don't help me fix it right now, you're a bad boss.
Flooded. This mother ever is flooded.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a real thing.
Again.
So, again.
Do you call back? Like, okay, which address is it? Is this 2 or 3?
Yeah.
Like, which flood is this?
How many times have we flooded this house, right?
No, I'm just kidding, buddy.
But ultimately, like, you could go forever in 1,000 different ways with the differences in the details, but don't let them slow you down. It's your job to figure out the details. So when somebody says, hey, can you meet at 2 o'clock? Put it in your fucking calendar. Don't like think I'll remember to meet them at 2 o'clock, because you know what's going to happen? At 2:15, you're going to get a text message going, where are you at? And you're going to go, oh shit, I forgot.
And now you look like a D-bag.
And now you look like an inconsiderate prick.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I don't want to say that. Say it's with a client and you forgot about it, even though it's not a sales job per se. You have immediately put doubt in their mind that they should be hiring you to do that job.
Yep.
It literally made your sales process 20% harder.
Yeah.
Just because you could not remember the freaking time that you were supposed to be there. Like, be an adult, number one, and be, how do I say this?
Use technology to your advantage.
That's not what I was going to say, but that's a
calendar.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, just
put it in there.
The amount of stupidity that rolls around, like, it drives me insane.
Yeah.
And I hate when people are late. Like, this is from my mom was late to everything.
Right.
That's why I'm never late to anything. And if I am, like, something happened.
Well,
like, I lost a finger and I'm only 10 minutes late. Like, you know, like, it's serious.
It's in the cooler, but you're still going to have the meeting.
But
then
I'm fine.
Swing
yeah,
by the hospital
I'm good.
Afterwards.
Like, hey, if I get woozy, wake me up.
Sorry,
you know?
I'm late. I had to get some ice to put my finger on it. And so this meeting's over.
You know, and so, like, I have
dripped on the contract.
A little bit of unfair advantage in that, like, subconsciously, I'll never be late.
Right.
But if you're not that way, that isn't an excuse for you to half-ass everything.
Why are you always late to the podcast?
I'm never late. Today I was 5 minutes late.
Look at Austin's face. Austin and I had an over-under on how late you were going to be today.
Well, first off, let's...
Because today was thrown...
If you guys want to talk consistency... Fucking consistency, we can talk consistency. Because every week it's Sunday or Monday night. Hey, can we change the time of the podcast? Like, dude, you know I got other shit going on, right?
That's why you
I have stuff going
time.
On, too.
Yeah.
My time is important, too.
Do you want to create, like, compare lists?
It's not
Do you want to compare lists?
This isn't dick measuring.
This isn't,
the fuck
yeah.
it ain't.
But
it is now.
I'm going to puff out my chest so far.
I will pull that thing out and measure you for $20 right here.
But
no.
There's a lot of people that need to learn, like,
I love
humble
you, Austin.
Yourself.
I'm just kidding, buddy.
No, you're good, man.
Humble yourself and write that shit down. Put it in your calendar. Make the note. Set a reminder. Set an alarm on your phone.
Be responsible, people.
Do the things that it takes so you can fulfill your obligation. If you promise somebody you were going to meet them at this time, at this place, do what it takes to make sure you fulfill that promise.
That's right.
And then leave ahead of time so you're not super late, right?
Yeah.
I, I was meeting with this guy today.
Military time. If you're 5 minutes early, you're on time.
Right.
Like I was meeting stuck with this guy me, and today, I wasn't in the military.
And I needed to leave by X amount of time. One of my employees called, needed a problem solved. Yeah. And so, like, I'm on the phone with my employee, and I'm texting the guy, letting him know, like, hey, I'm on a phone call that's running long. I'm probably going to be 5 minutes late. He got that text 35 minutes before we were supposed to meet. This yeah. wasn't like the, yeah. you know, I'm two texting him 2 minutes later. Like, it's, we're supposed to meet at 12, and I'm texting him at 12:02 that I'm going to be late. Like, no shit. He already knows that. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't want to get off on a whole tangent here, but that shit drives me insane.
But the other thing is, like, as we transition into national stuff, like Zoom meetings are very commonplace now and all of that stuff. As we transition into all that, time zones matter. And there's a lot of people that mess up time zones left and right.
Dude, I did.
And they'll say, like, let's meet at 8. And they don't even recognize, like, hey, you're in a different time zone. Well,
that's another detail that right. you've got to keep on top of.
Right. Once the detail is established, honor the detail, right?
Yeah.
So now I will say this. I'm going to call this guy out because he fucking pissed me off. And I don't usually do this, but...
Where are we going with this?
Somebody emailed in an inquiry into Tradewinds.
Okay. And they did talk about this.
They
okay.
did this over the weekend. And
no big deal. We love it all.
We
just
get,
send
we get
it
emails all,
in. All
the time.
Yeah,
right?
Send it in, bro.
And so his email lands in my email inbox at 12:30 a.m.
That's
on the
okay.
weekend.
Okay, no big deal.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
My phone's set on vibrate. Yeah. If I'm sleeping, my phone can go off 1,000 times. I'm getting my rest.
I do the same shit.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wake up Sunday morning. I text the guy back. I say, hey. This is so-and-so
you
from Tradewinds.
You him or you texted him?
I texted him.
Okay, because he's, oh, yeah, the phone numbers come through now.
Yep.
That's right.
And I said, hey, this is so-and-so with Tradewinds. And I said, this is Mitch Smedley with Tradewinds. And I got your inquiry form that you're interested in Tradewinds. What questions do you have? What questions can I answer for you? And literally the reply I got, now I texted him and like 30 minutes later, I get a reply. And it says, no questions at 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday.
First off,
fucker, like, I don't want you. I don't even need to know anymore. I don't. If you're going to have that kind of a sarcastic snapback response, it's somebody who's literally built a business to help you. And you're going to snap back like that. I don't want your business.
How do you know it wasn't? Yeah, I don't have any questions at 5:30 in the morning, brother. That's how you read it.
The fact that he put at 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday.
Was it in caps?
No. But
okay, so we're reading into that a little bit.
If you don't have the, like, if you don't respect your own time
yeah.
to put your phone on vibrate.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying.
Don't get mad at people that are texting you in the middle of the night.
And first off, if you're a business owner, like, just accept that shit's going to happen. Your number's going to get out there.
Yep.
And that shit's going to happen.
Right.
Like, it. You know,
I didn't respond to the guy. I was just like, all
fun.
Right. No, I'm just like, you're done. Like, I'm not even, if you're going to snap back like that, it's somebody who's literally trying to help you.
Yeah. See, I'd have been like,
fuck you.
I'd have been like, okay, you're off the list. Don't worry about it. I won't bother you anymore.
Nope. Obviously texting at 5:30 in the, like, I don't know what time zone you're texting, like you're emailing in from. So for all I know, you're in another country. I don't know. Like, Tradewinds is a national organization.
Yeah. I mean, the area code could give it away, but you're not going to go through all that.
Not even today, the area codes don't really help you
out. That's true. My brother's is fucking Colorado, and he still lives in my fucking guest house.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, like...
309, like, ah.
It's not the fact that I texted him.
I know.
When
I get it.
I got back to him the
so
moment
mad about
I was aware.
This. I understand.
Yeah.
Let it go, bro.
Well...
He's living rent-free in your brain right now.
No. Not that at all.
100%. He is living rent-free in your shit.
Those are the details that matter, right?
Yes.
He reached out to an organization, and he didn't care what fucking time zone he was in, because his email landed at 12:30 a.m.,
yeah.
Right? But when I text him back, as soon as I get the message, now he gets butthurt that I'm affecting his time.
Yeah. You know what we call
fuck
it? You know what we call those people? Losers.
Yeah. Those are the guys that will never amount to anything.
Probably not.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
And if you're listening.
If you can't swallow your shit for 5 seconds, that guy's probably listening to this.
He's probably listening to this show. And
fuck off, bro.
Take this as a lesson.
Stop listening to the damn podcast and getting the free information. Get bent.
Like,
Is that what you want to say?
Turn on the fucking vibrate feature on your phone.
Fuck!
Yeah. All phones have a D&D feature that you can turn on when you go to bed. Yeah. So you can get restful sleep and not be interrupted.
Yeah. Do
and
not
then
disturb.
When you're ready for notifications, you can turn it back on. And guess what? I'm not the only notification that dude got overnight.
Oh, I guarantee not.
How many emails do we get in the middle of the night?
Dude.
And if you haven't learned to turn your phone off while you sleep, like, figure that shit out.
First off, I don't have emails on my notification. I don't have social media. The only thing I get notified of is phone calls and texts, and that's it. Everything right. else, off. I don't right. care. Everything else is off. Dude, my phone would just constantly be like, I'm not. And then Janine's like, it even went so far that, so I like to sleep, like, real close to the edge of the bed for some reason. I don't know why. But I have to have my phone on vibrate and flipped over. The light.
Yeah.
If the light goes up, like, so there's studies, like, men are super sensitive to light. Women are sensitive to high-pitched sounds. Like, if the light goes off and I'm sitting there, it'll wake me up.
Yeah.
I have to go over to her side of the bed and flip her phone over, like, every other night.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's not on her. Like, right. it's my thing. You know, I don't mind. But it's like, I even had to go that far or else I'm not getting rest.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, attention to detail matters, but also don't let them distract you. Don't let all the details that you have yet to, like there's shit in my business right now, details that I have yet to figure out. Am I shutting down the operation until I figure them out? Nope.
Nope.
Figuring it out as we go along.
Let's roll, right? dog.
So I'll roll out new processes and then change them 2 weeks later. But yeah. the key
Your guys
thing,
probably do hate you though.
No, I don't change them that
this
often.
This guy's changed them every fucking week, bro.
But like technology changes, so processes have to change. People change, so processes have to change. But like you have to roll them out with confidence and say this is the direction we're going, and then you adapt, reevaluate, you evaluate and adapt and make adjustments and improve, right? That's from the core episodes of this show, which we don't talk about that much.
We need to. I went back and watched a couple the other day.
We probably need to redo
them. We need to re-record 1 through 9.
Yeah.
Because they're awful.
Yeah.
The information's great, but the actual back and forth is shit.
We didn't know how to podcast back then. So,
no comment from you. You know, you just sit the fuck back there and be quiet.
If you're newer listening to this show, if you go back and listen to episodes 1 through 9, forgive the fact that David and I sucked at podcasting back then.
But, God, it was bad.
But those episodes have all of the nuggets you need to start your business.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to those and then jump back in wherever you want. So
we're
going to wrap it up for this show.
We're an hour and a half. Could you close this fucking door? Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. And until next time, guys, we will see you later. Don't forget to email questions in to askmitch@mitchsmedley.com or mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com or david@tradewindsconsulting.com. And that's TRADEWINS.
Yes.
Like winning in the trades. Trade wins.
We need a banner up. We don't have a banner. We need something.
Maybe we have a banner in the other room.
Get a smaller. That ain't going to fit in here, bro.
I'd have to cover the flag.
I'm sorry for saying bro so much. It's my daughter.
Bro.
Every other word's bro, and it's like stuck in my brain. Yep. I'm trying to get off of it.
Mommy, mama, mom, bruh.
I know. I apologize to all of you listening.
Or Janine.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Hey, bruh. I could call her that, and she'd be like, what?
Yeah, she would 100%
she would
be
respond.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a sandwich? Okay.
You want a sandwich? Kids are it's driving me crazy.
You hungry?
You hungry? All right. Love you guys.
We will see you next week.